Right now on VFN TV, the National Intelligence Advisor, James Clapper, is saying that we will have ISIS-type terrorist attacks in America. Also, how are the American Muslims organizing in America, and what are they saying about Sharia law? And we as Christians, how should we organize as American Christians? Also, we'll be talking about today, in today's program, an ex-Muslim and how he looks at the reality of what's taking place in Islam and how our president's recent visit to a mosque when he tried to speak theologically about Islam and how he's saying how incorrect that is, including another day with Franklin Graham and his daughter, Sissy, as they go to the 7 Day in the Holy Land tour. It's an awesome thing right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this. If God's on your side, you're on the majority side. No matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me. And when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5 second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America.
Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. The National Intelligence Advisor, James Clapper, is appearing before Congress, and what is he saying? He's saying in 2016, this year, we're going to have radical Islamic attacks, ISIS-type attacks taking place in America. They're going to increase. As a matter of fact, let's join them right now at CBN talking about it.
A new report finds the Islamic State is likely planning an attack against the United States. Those findings come from the U.S. Director on National Intelligence, James Clapper. In a hearing on Capitol Hill, he testified saying the group will probably continue to involve those who draw inspiration from the group's highly sophisticated media. He also called ISIS a preeminent terror threat.
This is so important because the ultimate narrative in America right now is what is taking place with radical Islam in America. When you hear about Sharia law, think about this. This is so important because that is a radical form of Islam that says Sharia law would be over the Constitution. But not all Muslims feel that way. But when you hear it being promoted, as a matter of fact, at a recent event, supporters of Sharia law, what they're wanting to take place in America, they're just openly talking about it. Let's join them now. This is what supporters of Sharia law in America are talking about what they want to do in America for this year in 2016. Let's take a look.
We have to register every single Muslim to vote in 2016. The Muslim vote can be the swing vote in major states. The swing votes, brothers and sisters, you know them. Florida, Ohio. Do we have people from Florida here? Do we have people from Virginia, Colorado, Nevada, Iowa, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania? These are predicted to be the seven swing states in 2016 presidential elections. The number of Muslims in these states are growing. We would like to have an accurate assessment of our voting power, of our inclination on issues. Based on that, we're going to meet with presidential and local candidates on issues of concern to American Muslims. And we're going to negotiate with them. We've done it in many elections. We're going to do it in this election. And based on that, a decision will be made, not by our national organizations, because we are 501c3, we are nonprofit, and we cannot endorse or oppose candidates or raise funds for candidates or against candidates, like all mosques in the country. But who will make that decision is a committee, like a political action committee, that is registered by law to conduct that. And that recommendation that will be given by that organization can be conveyed through social media networks and through other networks to the Muslim community.
What you're looking at is like CARE standing up, you know, the American Islamic Relations is standing up, and they're saying, we're going to have a political action committee, even though we're a nonprofit, 501c3, that says you cannot support any legal candidate. They're actually supporting the whole concept inside their nonprofit 501c3 to start a 501c4, or whatever they're called, the political action committee, where they actually can stand up for certain candidates. They're talking about swing states and, you know, get in there and it just takes a few votes. And we'll hopefully be able to have a chance to talk about that today, where, you know, it just takes a few votes quite often in elections to swing school boards, governors, senators, and that type of things to be able to determine who's going to be the leader. And, of course, you know, if you're an American, you have the right to do that. They have the right to be able to stand up as an American citizen and do that. But you also have that right, too, as a Christian, to be able to stand up and say, you know what, we need to be involved. We need to get involved and say, you know what, we want to begin to vote our values and interview candidates. I mean, this is talking about supporters of Sharia law, which is Islamic law, which Sharia law ultimately will have to be over the Constitution in the way that most Muslims see that, the ones that are actually into the Quran, what the Quran actually says, and we have more on BFNTV.com about that. But right here in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan, you're looking at right here, another 21-year-old man was arrested for plotting with ISIS, an ISIS-inspired attack against a church in Detroit, and now he's behind bars. I mean, this is happening. While they're talking about trying to swing it in favor of Islam, what would be encouraging if they stood up and say, you know what, let's first deal with this radical element here. Let's stand up and protest against it. Let's take stages and auditoriums and say, that is wrong. That has to be ended. That is not part of us. But instead, they're promoting the whole concept of Sharia law. We're promoting the whole Muslim narrative in America. And it's a small number. It's not a large number. It's like the Putin, the giants and the Putin people, that the giant was laying down sleeping, and these little small Putin folks kept throwing ropes over this giant until finally they were able to tie that whole thing down. And as we keep sleeping and keep, you know, not speaking and not standing up as an American citizen, America won't be able to move. And we'll talk more about that after this break. But when we get back from this break, we want to hear directly from a former Muslim who is now a Christian, and he speaks directly. Because, you know, you think about this, just like you just heard that the president went into a mosque, which is, he could do that, obviously, but he's speaking about theology. When does a president come into a church or a mosque and begin to discuss, this is where the theology sets? And that's not who discusses theology. And the theology, which means the study of religion and what God was actually saying, or that particular religion was saying, what they mean. Well, let's just listen to an ex-Muslim who's now a Christian when he talks specifically about this, and we'll understand what's really said in the Quran and what's said in Islam and what's being taught. Make sure you join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV. Are these some wild topics that we thought we would never have to cover? But
Tell me about it.
Who's covering it?
That's right.
People are, for some PC political correctness that Dr. Ben Carson talks about, is killing America.
Yes.
And other ones are saying that too, that are out there trying to seek leadership for the country. But it's like, as Christians, we have to be, you know, biblically correct.
Mm-hmm.
And as you look at the life of Jesus and study the life of Jesus, he was never politically correct. I mean, wherever he went, he stood in unity with the Father, but, you know, if you weren't in unity with God,
he wasn't
right?
PC, politically correct.
No. He was BC,
that's
biblically
right.
correct.
That's right.
He was the Word. So actually, yeah. he was in unity with himself, right?
That's right.
So let's hear firsthand, because you're looking at CARE. That's the leader of CARE that you saw standing up and saying that we need to have a political action committee, which is a pretty wild thing to say publicly when you're in a 501c3, you know, and they're saying that we want Muslims in office. We want to swing votes is what they're saying. And what we're saying is we just want people who want to agree to abide by the Constitution of the United States. People
That's
have a
it.
Fear of God. Just happens to be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Civil Christianity, right?
By the way, when you say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, understand God changed Jacob's name to Israel.
Yes.
So just to say that alone, you can see how that would go totally against the grain of, you know, a Muslim who believes that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
Mm.
They believe he was a prophet, but they don't believe he was the Son of God, and they don't believe in the Trinity.
Mm-mm.
And they don't like the concept of the reality of Jacob being changed, name being changed to Israel, and they're against quite often a large percentage of Muslims are against Israel being in existence.
In existence, yes.
Well, that's Jacob being in existence. Why? Because remember, you had Esau and you had Jacob, and Esau was the older one, Jacob was the younger one, and Esau sold out his birthright for his appetite, for a bowl of beans.
Mm.
And long story short, God already predetermined that before they were even born. So it's not something one was doing to the other. It was just God's will being fulfilled. And so you have sibling rivalry taking place. I mean, they are. I mean, God said, I will bless, you know, I will. And it was Ishmael. I will bless Ishmael.
Ishmael.
But if you're looking at just sibling rivalry taking place. So somebody says, well, they're not. People aren't related in the Middle East. Well, they really are.
They're all related.
You know, all of us come. People say, well, we don't come from Adam and Eve. Well, we all definitely come from Noah and his family because everybody died in the flood.
Yeah.
So that's the crew that there everybody, you know, stemming from as well. So listen, you know, I'm not Muslim. John's not Muslim. I never was Muslim. And and we do, though, have a pastor at the VFN Dream Center who used to be Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave her life to God. It was a powerful, powerful transformation. And she can speak firsthand on this as well. But this is an ex-Muslim trying to help us understand, why would a president be going into a mosque speaking theology? Let me tell you, I was raised in Islam as a Muslim. This is what he's saying. I can tell you exactly what it says. And he's not saying all Muslims are a certain way, but he's saying predominantly this is what's being taught and what's being said. As a matter of fact, let's join him now.
Our leaders keep saying that Muslim terrorists are perverting Islam.
Do you mean that?
With San Bernardino, the president said again that these Muslims were perverting the true message of Islam.
How the president knows that those are perverting Islam? Why Western presidents and politicians turn to be theologians in one day? Who gives them the right to interpret Islam? Did they study it? I challenge them if they read even the biography of Muhammad. I get really mad when I hear these statements, because we lived in a Muslim society. Is Saudi Arabia perverted Islam? They are cutting the hands. They are cutting the heads. They are even crucifying people. It's like ISIS.
Who is right in the debate over whether the Quran is peaceful or violent? You see this on the internet.
The way how we should interpret any text is to follow the founder. The founder of Islam, was he a peaceful person or a violent person? If you check the life of Muhammad, he was preaching his religion over 23 years. 10 of these years, the last years of his life, he lived a violent life. He conducted 83 raids. If you divide that on 10 years, almost every month and a half, he did one. And he took captives, he took women captive for himself. Three of his wives, they were from those raids. So if ISIS is doing what is doing today to the Yazidis, to the Christians, they are following the pattern that was laid out by Muhammad himself, the founder of Islam. It's not just some verses and they misunderstood them. They are following the example of Muhammad. ISIS took the Yazidis as captives, Muhammad did the same thing. ISIS kicked out Christians of the Mosul, and Muhammad did the same thing in Saudi Arabia. And ISIS is cutting the hands, stoning, killing, Muhammad did the same thing. So those who are defending Islam, they should let me know what is the difference between what ISIS is doing now and what Muhammad did 1,400 years ago.
Our president compared Syrian, said Syrian refugees were no more dangerous than tourists. The idea on the left is that Islam should not be singled out as a bad religion or a different religion, that it's comparable, it's on equal footing with other religions like Buddhism or Christianity. Is it? Is it the same as other religions?
No, it's not. Islam is different than other religions because the view, the Western view of a religion is something personal. It's something you do for yourself. I don't intervene in your personal stuff. You can pray, you can fast, you can do whatever you want. It's your business. But Islam is not only prayer and fasting. It has other elements that could be a danger to the society, like implementing Sharia law. For example, if there is a majority of Muslims in a place and they want to implement a criminal law, they have to implement the Quran and the Sharia law, because Islam does not accept any law besides Allah's law. So they have to cut the hand of a thief, they have to stone somebody who committed adultery if he's or she's married, and they have to kill the apostate who leaves Islam. So they have to do all this stuff. This is a threat for Western civilization. So Islam is not a personal religion that it just fasting and praying. It will affect every detail in social life.
I realize everyone has their reason for going to a Western nation, but do some go with the mindset that they are colonizers?
Of course. I have family members in Europe and they think the same thing. I visited them and they think that they hate Europe, they hate the West, they hate their way of life. So they are there to change them, not to live their lives. And they are using the system in their favor, like they're taking advantage of it.
What do you think of the statement that some have made that inside every Muslim is a potential terrorist?
That's a very strong one. I will say this to make it a little bit mild. I have lived as a Muslim, and I can say hatred was implemented to us through religious texts and through the culture, through the educational system, and through the books, and through the mosque, through all these tools, we have been raised to hate the West and the Western civilization.
But as to the specific charge that inside every Muslim is a potential terrorist, you would say?
I will not say every Muslim is a potential terrorist. I will say it depends on how much you want to take his religion. Some of them, they don't take it that serious to the extent that they will sacrifice themselves for it. Some of them, they just want to pray and fast and put a scarf or something like that. Some of them, they want to take it to the full sense, and they want to follow Muhammad in every step. So some of them, I will say they are very good. I have very good Muslim friends, but others are huge threats for our civilization.
So you're looking at here. I mean, who would know better than somebody who was raised up in Islam?
Yes, hello.
And now is a Christian, so he's able to see what it was, what it isn't. Sharia law says specifically, as he's talking about and others are talking about, that if you commit adultery, that you're going to have to be stoned. You're going to have to be killed. Mm. Can you imagine if adulterers were killed in America?
There wouldn't be too many people around. I mean, think about it.
Yeah, well, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was, you know, if you're in rebellion to your parents or these type of things, that you would be stoned in that context.
Who could survive
of it.
If you stole something, they'll cut your hand off.
And that's what's so awesome about Jesus. He's of the new covenant, and he's fulfilled the law, so we don't have to fulfill the law. That's what's so exciting about America being a Judeo-Christian foundation mm-hmm. of who we are as a people. But what you're seeing, and this makes really good sense when you're starting to hear more people that understand Islam and Muslims themselves talking about it, and we're seeing this political jihad. You know, holy war. They have, you know, all different types of, rape. This is some reports that was, you know, Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministries, former Muslim. You know, he was saved by Jesus Christ and has given his life to the Lord. Just an awesome man. And I encourage you to invite him out to your churches and ministries to have him speak. But rape, and what also confirmed this was, the nun that we had on testified before the Senate, talking about what was taking place in Mosul, which former name of Mosul was Nineveh, and she said we had to convince the women that they weren't Muslims because you have these Catholic women and these Christian women that were raped, taken to sex slaves by these Muslims who profess to be Muslims, a radical form of really following to the letter of the law, like this ex-Muslim was just mm-hmm. talking about. And they would come to her, she said, and they would say, we're Muslim now because they had sex with us. They raped us. And they told us, once that happens, then you're now a Muslim. You know, it's not like Christianity where you have to be born again. I mean, you just happen to be in the family. And so what you have is when you head to Germany, you had all the rapes taking place when many Muslim refugees were coming in and they were raping. I mean, if you look at the theory behind radical Islam, that they could be committing in their own hearts holy jihad and converting these women to Islam.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is what Sharia law is about. I mean, we even had on our own program, and we'll make it available to you even on this program, but in Texas, you know, in Texas, you had men promoting leaders,
tribunal.
Promoting a tribunal, Sharia law tribunal in Texas. I mean, all the places, Texas.
I know.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, cut off the hand. What's the big deal? Like, oh my goodness. And you know, no one's righteous. No, not one. If you have somebody starting to cut hands off and gouges out,
we'd be in trouble.
We're all going to need a guide because yeah. we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. But so you're seeing, you know, forms of jihad, and that's one of the things, holy wars, you know, this giving yourself over to war. When you saw these terrorists come in, and that's a form of jihad in their religion. Well, what you just saw with CARE and what you're seeing is political jihad. This is what Kamal Saleem said. He says one form of jihad, which is, you know, Islam's holy war, is not just bombs and bullets and guns, and is not just rape or terror, that type of thing, but it's political jihad. It's those seven mountains that we talk about. where you have, you know, the government mountain, the education mountain, the family mountain, you know, each of these particular mountains, the business mountain, media mountain. And with that, they're going after these mountains. And when you see them speak specifically about that, knowing Sharia law's reality, being the first to come out with a PR program after San Bernardino took place, they went and met with CARE to come out and speak on behalf of Muslims instead of saying, wait a minute, Americans were killed.
That's right.
Americans were killed. They weren't necessarily Christian. We weren't saying Christian Americans. We weren't saying Muslim Americans. They were citizens of the United States were murdered at a Christmas party in their workplace at San Bernardino, but immediately became CARE made it a form of jihad. And from this is trying to change this narrative, and they're calling these mass murderers, you know, the young married couples, like they were evil
terrorists.
People who went out and killed people that he worked with for 5 years. And so we have to make up our mind. Well, this is why we need to be involved. That's why Franklin Graham is going around from state to state and praying at the Capitol and asking us to commit our lives to God, recommit our lives to God and our homes to God with Decision America 2016. You know, you can find out more about that on our site, but we have to stand up and do something. As Americans, when you see CARE and the Muslim people standing up, Muslim Americans standing up, they have the total right to do that. Maybe not the political action committee type thing, but I don't know how that works. But I know this, so do you. Are you going to let your silence cause us to lose this land? You know, we can. It's not a political answer. It's for us to rise up. And that's where we're going to talk about after this break. About civil Christianity. You know, we're called to be civil in a civil land. That means we have to participate in the process. And we've put something together by the leading of the Lord, I believe, to kind of help us, kind of, you know, what does it mean to be in unity, to walk together, to, you know, because when you say gather up, it's amazing who gathers up. And Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we have the 10 commitments, you know, is the cornerstone of how we're going to walk in agreement in just the wisdom of God. And we'll talk more about that after the break. First, we have this offer for you. We're so excited about this offer we have available for our VFN TV partners. For your partnership for any amount whatsoever, we have this offer. We'll send to you DVD or online where you can watch it. It's called One Thing in 2016. Offer 2001 is learning the keys to success, prosperity, and peace no matter what or who may come your way. This is so important to be able to keep your peace and focus on the Lord, just like David did. When all these things were happening against King David, he was just doing his job, but an entire government was coming against him, led by Saul. Guess what he did? He focused on the one thing. This is an encouraging word. We have it for you for any gift whatsoever. Just go to VFNTV.com, upper right-hand corner, click on partnering, or you can actually call 844-408 3688 or write to VFNTV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida 32505. One thing in 2016. God bless.
Thank you for watching VFNTV.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can your kindergartner be told they cannot share a song with the class because it mentions Jesus? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
A couple of weeks ago, my son's in the kindergarten. The teacher allowed a couple of other students to sing a song that they wanted to share with the class. A couple of days after that, my son went up to the teacher, asked to share a song about Jesus, and she basically said, no, we can't do that at school.
Well, that's incorrect. If it's the students are allowed to perform music, and it's music of their choice, your son should have been able to sing the song about Jesus. We've had, I mean, dozens of cases of those over the year, and the teacher's just absolutely incorrect. It's not only an overreaction, she's wrong on this. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers here at the American Center for Law and Justice. We'll get you in touch with our legal staff and get some help to you right away.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page, the VFN Torch, and you click on You see in the upper right-hand corner, you click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now.
Mm-hmm.
And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, I think about, when you think about rights, they're called constitutional rights. Mm. And I encourage you to get a copy of the Constitution and carry it. Get it while you can. Get it in paper. Don't have it digital. And begin to read it and to understand it, because everything in America under the hand of God is holding us together is the Constitution.
Mm.
Washington, D.C. exists only because of this little small document. I mean, everything, Supreme Court, President, the Congress, their powers. I mean, all that stuff's right here. The fact that you can't just get pulled over and somebody search you without probable cause. The fact that we can be right now talking on television to you about all these things.
It really
it's First
is
Amendment.
An amazing document.
Yeah.
I mean,
the very fact that if somebody comes to try to take away, you know, your freedom or your steal your things, you can defend your family with force. You know, Second Amendment, that you have a right to a trial of your peers, to evidence to be presented and face your accuser. I mean, these are all certain, the first 10 amendments.
Speedy trial, yeah.
Very important. Yeah, speedy trial. That so civil rights is for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's for everyone. The sad thing about our history is that our African-American brothers and sisters didn't get their civil rights for a long, long period of time. And then when, you know, after 100 years of people saying they had them, there still had to be the 1964, you know, civil rights amendments and civil rights. Yeah, I believe amendments or laws that were passed. Mm-hmm. And so that's when all of us started coming to a more perfect union, is what Dr. King mm-hmm. wanted us to be. And so when you hear about civil rights, realize you need to know your civil rights, because we're called to be civil Christians in a civil land. And we're going to talk more about that. What does that mean? We have civil Christianity that you can get connected with, which is so important, very important. But first, they're talking about swinging elections. What that really means is there's a close election. You know, it was a handful of votes that determined who was going to be the president between Gore and Bush.
Hmm.
And Florida was remember the hanging Chad. That was literally a swinging Chad and a swinging state.
Yeah.
And so if, in fact, John could give us the exact numbers, but it's like 35% of Christians, I believe it is, 35 million, didn't vote. That didn't register.
54 million.
Understand, you're the secret key to determining where this country's going to go. But it's not just showing up and pulling a lever. It's actually getting educated on who that is. And I'm looking at elections right here. You can see some very close elections on your screen right here. I mean, think about Thomas Jefferson. When Thomas Jefferson was elected to be the president, it was by 73 votes.
Wow, 73.
Yes. And
means 73 individuals, right?
73 electoral, you know, votes in the context
true.
Of that.
That's true.
And that's in 1800. In 1876, you know, Rutherford Hayes and Samuel Tilden, one was 185 and one was 184. But look at it. I mean, one particular candidate had the popular vote of 4,033,768, and the other one had 4,285,992. They're just so close. I mean, look, even at Woodrow Wilson, think wow. about this. Look at me for a moment. Think about this. If Woodrow Wilson did not make, if he didn't get voted for, if he lost the election to
Charles Hayes here, for example.
Hughes.
I mean, Hughes, glasses on. That means the United Nations is sitting in Florida might not exist. It literally might not even be there today. I mean, think about that. Woodrow Wilson is the one that formulated the League of Nations.
Hmm.
And he pressed for it. He ran for office of saying that we're not going to go to war. We're just not going to go to war. This is not what it's about. And then he went and got in office. He sent educators out to educate the public why we need to go to war, and he took us to war.
No United Nations in New York. Completely would have been gone.
It could very well be gone. Wow. Think about this. Our current president right now. Just say he didn't get elected. All this stuff that happened over the last, 7-8 years.
Yeah.
It may not even exist. Maybe America's leaders would be friends with Israel still.
Hmm.
It matters when you think about this, but look at that. So you're looking at Woodrow Wilson here in the election that he had in 1916, and it was the Electoral College was 277 and Hughes was 254. But look at that, 9 million to 8 million. So you're looking about, it was 8 million, 8.5 million and 9.1 million. So you're looking at like 500,000 people determined that we're going to have the United Nations or not. I mean, think about those folks. For God's going, listen, I gave you a country. It's a government by the people and for the people. And you didn't even go out and vote. And now you're complaining about the United Nations.
Yeah, responsibility.
Yeah, where Israel's pleading for its life in September of 2015. And he's staring the nations down for 45 seconds. We had that on the program.
Hmm.
And he's saying, we're having to do that because of Woodrow and what took place in these different. Because what happened was he had the League of Nations. That was his thing. We have a whole program on that. We'll just make it related. You can find it on VFNTV.com. But out of that, when World War II happened, they took his plans for League of Nations, and made the United Nations out of it. He had the foundation and gave his life towards. This is what he believed. If we tie people's money together, then we'll never go to war together.
Yeah, that works.
And so today, when China is manipulating the currency, when Russia is coming down because of the oil prices into Syria to be able to take over the oil, when we're in the financial crisis that we are, you can thank Woodrow Wilson for that. And everybody who did vote for him or those who didn't vote at all.
Mm.
And 54 million folks, you will determine. Listen, you'll determine. Think about this. Determine this. I mean, you heard what CARE community, Arab and Arab
Council
of Arab and American Relations, Islamic relations, mm-hmm. they're saying, hey, we won't ask Americans and they can do that. We want to participate in the process and we want to swing these elections towards, for example, back then it was towards Woodrow.
Yeah. And they have confidence that with the 1 million, they're just waiting for 1 million.
And we have 54 million that didn't vote.
They didn't vote.
There's much more than that.
It's close to 100 evangelicals.
100 million.
Yeah. 100
wow.
million.
Amazing. So look at this other elections real quick, like John F. Kennedy and Richard Nixon. Well, you think about those guys.
Wow.
Well, you're looking at how much? 100,000 votes. 100,000. Think about this. 100,000 people determined who was going to be president. I mean, think about it. If, in fact, that Kennedy wasn't elected, maybe he'd still be with us today.
Wow.
I don't know the politics back then, but Richard Nixon, look how close they were in the context of that. Richard Nixon lost by 100,000 votes or something.
100,000 votes.
A popular vote in America. So 54 million of you, us, 100 million total, but 54 million did not vote.
Which means they chose to stay home and not play.
Which is a vote.
A participatory.
Which is a vote.
Yeah.
It's a vote. It's a vote. And they go, we'll have all these available for you. But even like George right here in most recent 2000.
Well, look at Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford. I mean, again.
700,000 votes determined that Carter, who gave away the Panama Canal, who's been reportedly up until the time of our current president, statistically the worst president that we had had.
Yeah.
That's what people are saying. Who, by the way, anyway, the worst president that we've ever had, but now we're seeing worse things take place. But then you look at George W. Bush and Al Gore. I mean, you're looking at, 500,000 votes determined out of a 300 million people in our country.
Wow.
Christians will determine the outcome of this thing. But it's not just being Christian or saying you're Christian. It's actually voting the way that Jesus – how would Jesus vote? I mean, how would he vote? He voted to give his life for us.
Well, think about that. Think about that election because it was most recent – reports are that it was the panhandle of Florida every single vote that came out of Panhandle for Florida that really took the state of took the whole state of Florida. Think about that. Which won winning the entire country.
Right.
We've never had probably an election that was that
The Supreme
that
Court ruled
thing.
On it. Yeah. The Supreme Court actually ruled on it. Again, in 2004, happened the same way, but with John Kerry and with George W. Bush again.
Mm.
And this is the thing is, you know that now, you need to get registered to vote. If you're not registered, you can't vote. And if you don't vote, that is a vote. And when countries switched power historically outside of America, it was done with violence. It was done with uprisings. It was done with throw them out. You know, and they show up with pitchforks and clubs. I mean, they show up to physically remove somebody. And that's the way it was pretty much done up until this experiment called America, where we vote. So you think about how aggressive that was historically in other nations when they would, I mean, we had to do it with Great Britain to get our freedom in an American Revolution.
It was violent.
I mean, we asked for it. They didn't give it to us. And so we had to take it by force.
And we gave them 27 reasons. We laid out
27,
the case.
27 reasons. And so think about this. Think about getting educated on who's running for office. Vote like Jesus voted. You know, who would Joseph vote for? Well, he laid down his life for us. If you'll vote in a way with the fear of God while you're abiding with the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't vote your wallet, don't vote money, don't vote your political preference. You know, vote with the fear and trembling of the Lord, knowing that you're going to answer before God, because that's how violent that is. I mean, it's so violent that when you flip that switch or push that chat out or ever how you vote, I mean, that's historically people were just in. They legitimately shifted powers when this happened and this new leader would come in. You get a chance to do that. When you stand up for your rights as a citizen of America, a Christian citizen, you are – it's a violent thing, believe me, because it's going to be an uprooting of the darkness and the liberal viewpoint of our country, which is totally opposite of our founding fathers and the original intent for this nation, totally opposite in how we would actually relate to the democracy called Israel in the Middle East. But you can determine – I mean, think about this. If you're going to be sent to war based on your vote, if they're going to draft you into war, whether you're a man or a woman, because now they've voted the whole thing in, and you knew if you voted this particular person, they're going to send you to war. They're going to create war. Somebody's going to say, I had it up to here. We're going in, and we're going to do damage. That means your sons, your daughters, and possibly you are going to be drafted into the military. You're going to have to go fight for this person that you wouldn't even – had a cup of coffee with, but you didn't choose to vote for the counterpart of that. So by not voting, it's sort of like, you know, America's fighting for its freedom, and you're sitting on your front porch going, well, I hope it works out, guys. Let me know how it goes. And it's like, they're going to be angry with you because it's like, you should have helped out with the fight, like Gideon, when Gideon was trying to do what God told him to do. And you know, he's fighting for the freedom of a nation. He's called by God. He was so upset with people that wouldn't come out and help him. And, of course, that was God's plan.
And sometimes there is a time to fight. There is a time for war. The question is it a just war? Is it the right thing to do at the right time? And is this person going to be able to walk this thing out and not leave wounded people all over the place? You know,
But rest assured, if you have somebody that's stirring up strife over the entire globe, somebody's going to go to war. Would you want that person sending you what they call a just war? There wouldn't be a just war.
Right.
I believe World War III's already started.
Yeah.
And you can determine its outcome by who you decide to vote for. The fear of the Lord. I encourage you, you know, we'll talk more about this. We'll get back from the break about civilchristianity.org. You need to get alert. You need to be aware that the CARE organization and the Muslims, and they're hoping that a million Muslims will be activated, and that's what they're hoping.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have 54 million, over 100 million, but 54 million that just need to wake up and go to the polls and vote, I mean, this could be a sure thing.
If half of the 54 million voted, half.
We'd swing the whole nation back to you know, its original intent. Well, we'll talk more about this in civil Christianity when we get back. But first I want you to hear, you know, Bernice King. This is the daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King talking about civil rights and God's assignments.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Some time ago, I had a conversation with a Marxist economist from China. He was coming to the end of a Fulbright fellowship here in Boston. And I asked him if he had learned anything that was surprising or unexpected. And without any hesitation, he said, yeah. I had no idea how critical religion is to the functioning of democracy. The reason why democracy works, he said, is not because the government was designed to oversee what everybody does, but rather democracy works because most people, most of the time, voluntarily choose to obey the law. And in your past, most Americans attended a church or a synagogue every week, and they were taught there by people who they respected. My friend went on to say that Americans followed these rules because they had come to believe that they weren't just accountable to society, they were accountable to God. My Chinese friend heightened a vague but nagging concern I've harbored inside that as religion loses its influence over the lives of Americans, what will happen to our democracy? Where are the institutions that are going to teach the next generation of Americans that they too need to voluntarily choose to obey the laws? Because if you take away religion, you can't hire enough police.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We have to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air. And we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. CivilChristianity.org. We're called to be civil Christians in a Christian land. What is, read the definition, John, of what, and from the Noah Webster's original 1828 dictionary, when our founding fathers were putting this together, you know, what does civil actually mean? Because some people think it's civil rights. Some people think it has nothing to do with Christianity. But if it's a government by the people and for the people, we have a responsibility. We're obligated as citizens to be civil Christians. So what does that mean?
Civil, relating to the community or to the policy and government of the citizens and subjects of a state, relating to any man as a member of a community, as civil power, civil rights, the power or rights which a man enjoys as a citizen. Noah Webster, 1828.
So this is what civilchristianity.org is. We have to begin to get involved again as Christians into the civil atmosphere of our society. I mean, there's so much isolationism in regards to, you know, Christians are Christians in these buildings. But when it comes out to the school board, well, no, sorry, I don't know where.
The society.
Society itself. or, you know, in your business realm or in your government realm, in your education realm, in your media
family.
Realm. Everybody's kind of like silent going, I'm a Christian, but I can't say much. And it's like, we are supposed to be participating in the civil process,
mm-hmm.
which means participating in elections. I mean, when you become an American citizen, one of the things they tell you in the citizenship test is, you know, that you're supposed to vote.
You have a responsibility.
You have a responsibility to vote. And an educated vote's important. And so civil Christianity is, you know, where we're beginning to just say, you know, if you're interested in what we're talking about, becoming civilly active, you know, as other Christians have in our past that got us to this point, then you need to come and join us. But what we have is a 10 commitments that Dr. King had everyone sign that we're going to walk with him and march with him.
Mm-hmm.
It was so important because there's so many different things going on. There's people that are calling themselves Christian, but you're trying to find their DNA in Scripture, and you're like, what you're saying about that man is not anywhere.
I don't see it.
It doesn't say that. Or, you know, it's just, you know, these, and so we have 10 commitments that the same ones that Dr. King had people sign that would walk with him, maybe just a little bit, you know, updated to, you know, where we are right mm-hmm. now. And you can sign that. What's so interesting and helpful for you and us is that you're going to know somebody who's walking with you sign those same 10 commitments.
That's
right. So you know that no weird thing is going to pop up all of a sudden. You know, in that agreement, what you're going to do is go to civilchristianity.org. That's civilchristianity.org and read over the 10 commitments. If you want to be able to take that pledge, that commitment to walk with us, and it doesn't take many. It takes agreement. It takes unity. And you'll be a part of that. And we'll begin to let you know everything that's taking place as we follow the Lord's lead in this specific thing of being civil Christians. In a civil land. We have moments left to wake up in 2016, and I believe we will when we hear the Lord's lead. As a matter of fact, I think about, you know, Dr. King specifically and what he said. Take a look.
Men will recognize that out of one blood, God made all men dwell upon the face of the earth. Let us be dissatisfied until that day when nobody will shout white power, when nobody will shout black power, but everybody will talk about God's power and human power.
This is so,
wow.
So very important. And wow, look what Dr. King did and the tragic ending that took place. But you know what? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, I can imagine what it was like when he made it to heaven and he stood faithful to the call on his life. You know, it was a call by God and his assignment was the civil rights. Well, it is here again. We need to stand up as Christians and say, this is the time, this is the place. I think about, you know, Billy Graham. He stood with Dr. King, and he stood in a way that said, we got to begin to preach the gospel that changes the heart of men, that brings things together. It was an amazing thing. Well, we need to do that today, but we have to stand together, united in Christ. Let's pray right now. Father God, I thank you for those that have gone before us, Lord. I thank you for those that stood, even when they had to stand alone, God, those that heard the wisdom from heaven about, you know, pledge cards and saying, you know what? We need to know, how can two walk together lest they agree? And this wisdom that Dr. King had brought out that you shared with him, God, I just pray right now, even now, Lord God, instead of complaining about what we're seeing other Americans do and they have the right to do, that we wake up ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to be a civil Christian in the civil land. I'm going to be active and I'm going to be in unity with others that are walking the same way. Lord, I just pray for each and every one that are watching and listening, a grace to be informed, a grace to get registered, and a grace not only for them to vote, but them to encourage others to be able to go out and participate in this process. These 54 million would just wake up. Lord, we just ask you for that, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. We pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful. You're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about these like these books. They got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his Father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.